Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. We're glad you're able to be with us today. You're going to enjoy this lesson because it's one of the most beautiful stories of the Old Testament. We're studying the story of Ruth, and you can find that in the book of Ruth. We're going to be particularly concentrating on Ruth chapter 1, verses 14 through 22. So you might be wanting to turn now to the book of Ruth, chapter 1, and you may want to take some notes as we go along the way and see just what it is that we are reading as we pursue this lesson. We're actually looking at a Sunday school lesson that E.A. Elam wrote for the Sunday of April the 29th, 1923. Now, while you're turning to the book of Ruth, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. And all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliffe, and the superintendent for this radio Bible school. Now, if you're familiar with the story of Ruth, you know that there was the man named Elimelech, who left Bethlehem and went into the land of Moab because of a famine. And with that, we're going to pick up with Elam's notes on Bethlehem and Elimelech's family. And here's how they read back in 1923. Bethlehem, we know, is about 6 miles south of Jerusalem. The word means the house of bread. Many sacred memories cluster around that place. There, Rachel died and was buried, Genesis 15:19. There, Boaz resided. There, David was born, 1 Samuel 17 and verse 12. There, Jesus was born. And there, Herod the Great slew the innocents. Elimelech means God is my king. Naomi means pleasant. Mahlon means a sick person. Chilion means wasting away. Elimelech died in Moab, leaving Naomi alone with her two sons. They married wives of Moab, namely Orpah and Ruth. They dwelt there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died, both of them. And Naomi was bereft of her husband and two sons. Naomi heard that God had visited his people in giving them bread, and she decided to return to Bethlehem, a widow in distress and sorrow, leaving buried in a strange land her husband and her two sons. We can well imagine she longed for her home and her people. In the explanatory notes, we're going to read from Ruth chapter 1 and verse 14. And it's about Ruth and her daughters-in-law. It says, they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. Naomi's daughter-in-laws went on the way with her. But she bade them return each to her mother's house, praying God to deal kindly with them as they had dwelt with her in the dead, their husbands, and that might each find again a kind husband. She kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. Both decided to return, declaring they would accompany her. Naomi stated she could not hope to become the mother of other sons, who according to the law of the Israelites would become their husbands. And even if she had such a hope, they would not be willing to wait for these husbands. Once more they wept, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law farewell and departed. But Ruth clave unto her. Now the second part of the notes is about Ruth's choice and faithfulness. We read in Ruth chapter 1 in verse 15, and she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back to her people and to her God. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. Nothing more is said of Orpah except that which had been stated in this verse. Naomi said she had gone back unto her people and to her God. Once more Naomi urged Ruth to return. Naomi, it seemed, did not desire to get rid of these women, but she wanted them to understand fully what they were sacrificing to go with her. If they went, she wanted them to go upon their own choice and through no personal consideration of her. Like Orpah, many professed Christians who know more of the truth than she did turn back to the world. Like these two women, people today must choose for themselves and upon their own responsibilities the cost to serve God. In the parable of counting the cost in Luke 14:25-33, Jesus does not teach that one should count the cost of becoming a Christian, but of continuing to be a sinner. Let me read that to you. Luke 14:25-33. Now there went with him great multitudes, and he turned and said unto them, If any man cometh to me, and hateth not his own father, and mother, and wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Whosoever doth not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, sitteth not first down to count the cost, whether he have wherewith to complete it, lest haply when he had laid a foundation and is not able to finish all that, behold, begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, as he goeth forth to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and take counsel, whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000, or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and asketh conditions of peace. So therefore, whosoever he be of you that renounce not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Now, like the man who surrendered all to the advancing foe, so must one surrender all to Jesus. One must deny self and give up everything in the way of his being a Christian and serve God faithfully. If he does not do this, he will lose his soul. None can be saved except through Christ, but the benefits of Christianity are so enormous that it pays one to surrender all that he has for Christ. All are able to become Christians and to resist the devil, but they're not willing to make the sacrifice necessary to do so. Orpah represents this class. Ruth was willing and determined to forsake all for the true God. We read in Ruth chapter 1 and verse 16 that Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I will go, and whether thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Ruth was personally attached to Naomi, and manifested a true and unselfish and lofty and noble nature. Naomi was old, childless, and poor, but for these reasons Ruth clung to her. Naomi was a good and true mother-in-law who had taught her daughters-in-law the true God in his worship. Ruth appreciated this and firmly expressed her determination to follow Naomi at any cost. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Ruth, although personally attached to Naomi, had a higher reason for accompanying her. She was moved by religious consideration. She had turned from idolatry to worship the true and living God. She was ready to give up her country for another country, her people for a strange people, her God for the true God. We read in Ruth 1 and verse 17, Where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. It hath well been said that now we must take God's people for our people, and this we will do if we are his children. Rich or poor, Whosoever does the will of God in heaven is owned by Jesus as his brother and sister and mother. Matthew 12 and verse 50. Christianity overleaps social forms, family ties, and national bounds. One Christian is brother to every other Christian in the world and loves him as a Christian. Jehovah, do so to me and more also, Ruth said, if aught but death part thee and me. The use Ruth makes here of the name Jehovah and this oath, common at the time, shows that she was acquainted with Jehovah and respected the true God. In Ruth 1 in verse 18 we read, and when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, she left off speaking to her. When Naomi saw Ruth was steadfastly minded to go with her, that is, she ceased to persuade her to return to her people. Ruth was settled in her convictions and determined in her purpose. Thus Paul says, but one thing I do, he had but this one purpose and made but this one effort. And we're referring here to Philippians chapter 3, verses 17 through 15, where Paul said, howbeit what things were gained to me, these have I counted loss for Christ. Yea, verily, and I count all things to be loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but refuge, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, even that which is of law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness is from God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed unto his death, if by any means I may attain unto the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained, or am already made perfect, but I press on, if so be that I may lay hold on that which also I was laid hold on by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have laid hold, but one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind, and stretching forward to the things which are before, I press on toward the goal unto the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be, ye are otherwise minded, this also God shall reveal unto you. All this presents a beautiful family picture in every particular, the home influence of a devout and good mother-in-law, and the dutifulness and faithfulness of a pious daughter-in-law. From every home the light of Christians should now shine. There is great power in a consistent home life. Home is the realm of godly women. Now let's talk about the names Naomi and Mara. I'm going to read from Ruth chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. It says, so they went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, the city was moved about them. And the woman said, is this Naomi? And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. And I went out in full, and Jehovah hath brought me home again empty. Why call ye me Naomi, seeing Jehovah hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? The news of Naomi's return soon spread throughout all Bethlehem, and the people knew her. They knew that she left there over 10 years before with her husband and 2 sons, and now returned poor, desolate, and helpless. This, and especially the women, expressed surprise. Is this Naomi? They did not ask this question because they did not recognize her, but expressed their astonishment at her condition, as if they had said, can this poor, sorrowful creature be Naomi? We'll continue with the next class.